my first visit to Ramanashramam. It has been nearly 2 months since I walked up, down and around the blessed Arunachala, and I have realized this pilgrimage is all the doing of this mysterious hill, which the Skanda Purana calls the heart of the earth. It brought me to itself, walked me up, down and around it, and took me deep within its depths. Our Bhagavan did say, in the end, everyone must come to Arunachala. A taxi driver picked me up at the Chennai airport in his Ambassador. I got in the car and we were off to a rocky start. 20 minutes into the ride, we rear-ended the car in front of us. The driver of the other car came out into traffic, fuming with anger. They exchanged what I interpreted to be unpleasant words and eventually examined each other's car. The taxi driver got back into the car and we were off looking for a welder, stopping several times until one was found. Although eager to get to the ashram, I enjoyed the delays, enabling me to observe the school children walking home from school, the unattended cows snacking in the green space of the island of the highway, and to try to decipher English phrases that just aren't used in the United States, written on the work trucks. The closer we were to the destination, the more there was a pull inward. The I consciousness spontaneously took hold. I was becoming prey, just as a fly is to the spider when trapped in its web. At the first sight, the holy hill was radiating its silence, beauty and grace. A subtle but tangible shift took place. It seemed as though Arunachala adjusted a lever within me, giving me a taste of a more natural life. My days at the ashram were quite simple. They usually consisted of morning meditation, a walk up or around the mountain, attending the Veda and Tamil Parayana, and of course partaking of the delicious meals. How can one describe walking the path to Skandashram? I guess one could talk about the beautiful reforested path, the black-faced monkeys, the birds of prey, kites, searching out lunch, the vendors selling their carvings, the friendly Swami halfway up or off the beautiful scenery on the path. However, none of those externals would seem right to share with you. Although there is one thing, the path. Can you believe that the devotee Ramaswami Pillai had laid the path with his bare hands? All those thousands of odd-shaped, oversized rocks. Thinking of lifting just one would cause strain to the average person's back. They all fit so perfectly. What a labor of love. No wonder he ate 30 plus idlis for breakfast. Wow! And how many times did Sri Ramana walk that path? There is the indescribable blessedness of that ground, which seems to radiate a contemplative energy and love, where one spontaneously and effortlessly rests in Arunachala, the heart. I felt as if I was being carried up the path to Skandashramam. I often would plan to go to Skandashramam, but would walk to its gate and turn around, filled with grace and not needing to go any farther. The same inward pull happens while on Pradakshina. I remember when a friend first told me about it. She said, without even trying, one goes into meditation. Just wait and see. Sure enough, that captures one of the mysteries of the silent mountain. My most memorable pradakshina was with some Tiruvannamalai residents who wanted to take me to the noteworthy places on the path and explain their significance in relation to Ramana's life. We started very early in the morning. The villages were dormant. The sadhus were sleeping and our group was singing Ramana Sadguru, followed by Aksharamanamalai, alternating each verse as they do in the Samadhi hall. Ironically, other than singing, the rhythm of our steps and the restful nature of the walk made speaking sparse. Only a few words were exchanged during the 9 miles, and that was to point out Ramana's bridge, which was about two-thirds of the way around the hill, one of the places Ramana often stopped to view the mountain and briefly rest. About halfway around, another devotee from Hyderabad joined us. He would distribute Arunachala Prasad to everyone he saw. No one was forgotten. Even later that day, I saw him wandering around the ashram distributing the remaining prasad. Indian or foreigner, friend or stranger, it didn't matter. As the sun started to rise, the infamous haze over Arunachala's peak appeared. What a sight it was, seeing the breathtaking Arunachala slowly appear out of the darkness. Light or dark, waking or sleeping, Arunachala always stands firm within itself. Another of the mysteries to me is that one can walk around the 9 miles of Arunachala and feel no bodily strain. How can that be? One of the greatest blessings of my life was meeting Srimati Kanakammal, a devotee who intimately moved with Bhagavan. Although in her mid-80s, she seemed to be in good health, smiling, laughing, and making herself available to earnest seekers. I visited her in her home a few times and would often see her frequenting the evening pujas. Four or five would squeeze into her front room, captivated by her stories of Sri Ramana, many of which are in cherished memories, so I will not repeat them here. Her words brought the physical presence of Ramana to life. She would subsequently become quite elevated and unaffected by the outer conditions. Bhagavan flowed through her gracious smile, bright radiant eyes, and distinct laugh. She made it clear to us that at first sight, Ramana was so normal and human, yet he possessed qualities that were not of this world. An ocean of compassion would pour out of his eyes and lips. His smile, in particular, seemed unforgettable. Although most of the conversations were in Tamil or Hindi, and the translators were too captivated to remember to translate for me, I felt as though I understood everything. All that was translated was almost more than I could absorb. There was one poem by Muruganar she spoke about, and I know it is not in her book and is yet untranslated. I would like to share the gist of it, even though I may get it all wrong. It seemed as though she was very close with Muruganar, who took her under his wing soon after Sri Ramana's Mahanirvana. The gist of the poem goes something as follows. There were two women having a discussion when one of the women started criticizing the other about having Ramana as her guru. She said, Ramana only wears a kaupina, lives on such simple food, sleeps on the floor, and has no possessions of his own. She looked upon Ramana as a lowly man. Then the second woman replied, "Oho, you have misunderstood. The earth has done penance for thousands of years to have an avatar bless the earth by living as he did. Apparently, most avatars come on celestial flying chariots. Being at Arunachala, we get a sense that Muruganar hit the nail on the head. After writing all these words, I have to ask myself, what can I really say about my time at Arunachala? I suppose it would be most accurate and truthful to have said nothing, but that would not have made for much of a report. Can you believe a place like this exists? As snow in water, let me melt as love in thee, who art love itself, O Arunachala." Aksharam Anamalai, verse 101.